The title of this morning's message is Famine in the Land. And every once in a while, what I like to do is I like to take my sermon and base it on a smaller, usually lesser known book in the Bible. This morning we are going to spend our time in the book of Amos. We will start out by looking at Amos chapter 8. I think many of us can remember the heavy rain that we experienced in 2011. While I was doing the research for this sermon, I found a website from the ABC affiliate News Channel 5. And on their website, they reported the top 5 years with the most rainfall in the three local areas as reported by the National Weather Service. In the Cincinnati area, in 2011, there was 73.28 inches of rain reported. That's a lot of rain. That made it the largest, wettest year for the Cincinnati area since they started recording this information. In the Dayton area, there was a total of 56.72 inches of rain, which was second to 1990. Which recorded a total of 59.75 inches of rain. And in the Columbus area, there was a record total of 54.96 inches of rain. That's a lot of rain in 1 year. So far in 2012, we've seen a lot of rain already. We've seen a little snow, haven't we? When you pause to think about all this rainfall and all this moisture, you might ask yourself, how could there be a famine in the land? About 750 BC, there was a farmer and a shepherd who was called by God to be a prophet. God called upon Amos to warn Israel of God's coming judgment if they did not repent. So let's take a look in the book of Amos, at Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint from thirst. As for those who swear by the guilt of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall and not rise again. Sadly, we find that the nation of Israel did not heed the warning of Amos. And as a result, they were led into the Assyrian captivity. Part of Amos's prophecy that was fulfilled concerned an unusual famine that would come upon the people. A famine for the word of God. Even sadder, because it affects all of us today, is the fact that here in modern times, there is also a famine for the word of God. Some of the effects of today's famine are apathy and a lack of commitment to regular Bible study and corporate worship. This is a kind of famine that will help be the reason that in the end times, even the elect will be fooled. The effect of today's famine is different in some ways, and yet it is very similar to the days of Amos in other ways. The present day famine is different because it has not been sent by God. God has given us the tool needed to prepare ourselves for future judgment. And the truth be told, when you think about it, God has provided us with a feast of His holy word. We enjoy such modern conveniences as the internet. We can have unlimited access to an unlimited number of Bible translations and reference material. We can have all this at our fingertips. And today we can even put all this in our pocket and carry it around with us everywhere we go. Never before in the history of mankind has any society been able to enjoy the free and unlimited access to God's holy word. The famine for scripture and Bible study is completely self-imposed. In this day and age, if you don't have access to the inspired word of God, it's almost your own fault. Why then? Why then is there this present day famine for the Word of God? The answer may be found as we compare our present day famine with the one that was foretold by Amos. First, we all live in the lap of luxury, don't we? If you've been in Sunday school, you've heard Gary say many, many times that we are a spoiled people. And we really have had it pretty good. Let's continue in Amos. Let's go back a few chapters to chapter 6. Let's look at Amos chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure in the mountain of Samaria, the distinguished men of the foremost of nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Go over to Calna and look, and go from there to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are they better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than yours? Do you put off the day of calamity, and would you bring near the seat of violence? Those who recline on beds of ivory, and sprawl on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the midst of the stall, who improvise to the sound of the harp, and like David, have composed songs for themselves, who drink wine from sacrificial bowls, while they anoint themselves with the finest of oils. Yet they have not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they will go now into exile at the head of the exiles, and the sprawler's banquet will be passing away. The Lord God has sworn by Himself, the Lord God of hosts has declared, I loathe the arrogance of Jacob and detest his citadels. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all that it contains. It is because of their luxury, it is because of their easy lifestyle, that the nation of Israel soon forgot. They quickly forgot about the bleak future that Amos told them was going to happen. He told them what was going to happen. But they were living so big, they were living so large, they soon forgot about that. As we read from our scripture reading this morning, we see that God warned the nation of Israel that this wealth might cause some to forget exactly where these blessings came from. And we too would be wise to listen to these words and to heed the warnings. Jesus Himself warned us in the parable of the sower in Luke 8:14. Jesus said, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Today, there are many people that are in search for their wealth. And as they do this, they forget about God. Others have so filled their time with enjoying their luxuries that they have no time for the Word of God. They do not seem to be able to give God a couple of hours on a Sunday to be in church and worship Him. We also have the problem of moral corruption. Staying in Amos, let's take a look at one of the problems that plagued the nation of Israel. In Amos chapter 2, Amos 2, verses 6 and 7. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke its punishment. But they sell the righteous for money and the needy for a pair of sandals. Those who pant after the very dust of the earth on the head of the heapless and turn aside the way of the humble. And a man and his father resort to the same girl in order to profane my holy name. When we look at the world today, we can see that the morality of this country is just about what we read, isn't it? We can see the influence of the world on our church and on our worship. And as a nation, and as a Christian nation, we need to remember that the further away we get from God, the worse things are going to be for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The power of the Word of God has the ability to reveal oneself, one's true self, doesn't it? You can't hide what you think. You can't hide what you feel. You can't hide what you say. You cannot hide your actions. The Word of God will reveal how right or how wrong you might be. Still in Amos, let's go back to chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. And let's look at verses 4 through 6. Hear this. You who trample the needy to do away with the humble of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may open the wheat market, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales, so as to buy the helpless for money and the needy for a pair of sandals, and that we may sell the refuse of the wheat. The Israelites. The nation of Israel could not wait for their religious ceremonies to be over. Why is that? They were more interested in playing games. And they were more interested in dishonest business dealings and cheating people. Does that sound familiar today? More and more when I talk to other pastors, it is becoming very evident that society today is just not that interested in church or in worship of the Almighty God. The "I don't have time" excuse is a clear case of misplaced priorities. When I was a kid, I could not wait for Sundays and I could not wait for Wednesday nights. Today, God and His worship must compete with school activities. It must compete with television shows. It must compete with televised sports. People today would rather spend their Sundays playing. Nobody seems to feel the need to be in church anymore. And it's a sad picture. It's a sad picture that was described in Amos. We read it a few minutes ago. In Amos chapter 8, in verses 13 and 14, it says, in that day the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint from thirst. As for those who swear by the guilt of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall and not rise again. Young people fainting from thirst, and others falling and not rising again. Doesn't this describe the nature of Christianity today for many people? suffering from a lack of spiritual food, they are easily overcome by temptation. Even the common trials of life just overtake people anymore. Understanding this may help us understand why some new Christians fall away, why young people often lose their interest. The behavior of some elders and preachers and teachers is not good. And there are many TV preachers out there that make a Christian life very difficult, especially when they falter themselves. And the condition of many of the churches today is one of spiritual malnutrition, influenced by materialism, immorality, and lack of true spirituality. And as I was preparing this message, this next fact hit me, and it hit me hard. What is so sad about this famine is that by choice, many have imposed a famine upon themselves for the Word of God. This helps to explain the discouragement and the defeat in the lives of so many Christians today. What can be done about it? What can we do? How can we end this self-imposed famine for the Word of God? Well, we must end this famine, and I believe that we can. First, we must remain faithful, and we must remember that God will not tempt us beyond that which we are able to withstand. And the next thing that I think we must do, this is something that I think is lacking in our worldly society, and I believe this is lacking among many of our Christian brothers and sisters. We have completely lost the fear of God. And when I say fear, I mean the respect for who God is and the reverence that is due Him. Society today says that we are to look out for ourselves first. Nothing else is important. If I am to go to church, what's in it for me? What are the freebies? What are they giving away? And if I do go to church, don't you ever tell me that I'm doing something wrong or I need to change my lifestyle. I can hear that from so many people. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil." And God is so perfect. And in this book that He's given us, this book is designed to give us faith and to keep us strong. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We must appreciate the power of God's Holy Word, and we must have the faith to understand that God's Word will change lives. The power of God's Holy Word is only limited by yourself. You can trust God for His Word. You can trust what you read. You can understand His promises. Or you can go ahead and live your life your way, not God's way. And we must understand. We must remember and caution ourselves that God's Holy Word is the standard by which we are going to be judged. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day." Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2, he said, "Like newborn babies, longing for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." We are to be like newborn babies, longing for mother's milk. This is how we are to be when it comes for the Word of God. We are to long and desire the Word of God just that much. And I contend that nothing less than daily Bible reading of God's Holy Word is absolutely necessary. We appreciate the value of daily nourishment for our physical bodies. Do our spiritual lives deserve anything less? We were created in the image of God, and we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. A simple practice of daily Bible reading will go a long way in ending this famine for the Word of God. A reasonable goal at first is to read one chapter a day. I recommend reading through the New Testament first. At the rate of one chapter a day, someone would easily be able to read the New Testament in an entire year. Once you are in the habit of daily Bible reading, once this habit has been established, reading three or four chapters a day, which really is not a lot, reading three or four chapters a day will enable you to read through the entire Bible once a year. It's not too late to start reading the Bible all the way through this year. And as you read your Bible, and as you study, I ask that you make it a time for meditation and prayer. Meditating upon the Word of God and praying for wisdom and for God's help so that you can obey His Word and open your minds to new Scriptures. How many times do you read a passage of Scripture that you know you've read a countless number of times before, and God opens up a new meaning and a new understanding for that passage of Scripture? It must have been terrible for the Israelites to be taken away as captives to a strange land, unable to feed on the wonderful Word of God. They couldn't control that. But how tragic for those who impose a famine for the Word of God upon themselves today. By their own neglect, they languish from spiritual malnutrition. By their own neglect, they remain captives to sin. We need to end the famine of the Word of God. I pray that you hunger for the Word of God and that you do your part to help end the famine in the land. Thank you, and may God bless.